Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, Geekscapists. Welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, well, you picked a good one to jump in on. This is Geekscape 666. This is number 666 of the Geekscape feed. You might be like, wow, you've done 666 Geekscapes? Nope, it's sadder than that. We've done probably over 1,000 Geekscapes. It's just between the dedicated specials to movies that we do sometimes. Sometimes we'll sit down on Geekscape and we'll talk about a specific movie or video game, or maybe I'll interview a director or a actor or someone involved in comic books. Sometimes those become dedicated episodes. Those do not go in the numbering. And every now and then Jonathan throws some things out of the numbering in order to land episode 666 with two close friends who'll be joining him next week at San Diego Comic-Con. Matt Kelly and Derek Kranevelt are on the show to preview Comic-Con, which is next week, coming way fast down the pipe for all of us. And we're going to be there at booth 3919. If you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, please come hang out. Buy one of our brand new shirts. Buy one of our old shirts. Go buy one of the Horror Movie Night shirts from Matt Kelly. We got tons of people signing at the booth, appearing at the booth. We have a panel. We have all sorts of cool stuff going on in San Diego next week. If you're there, you can come be a part of it. If you're not, you can still be a part of it by listening to this podcast and maybe some of the other podcasts on the Geekscape Network. We got a couple that are going to be there. I know this one is. We're going to record that panel that I'm moderating. It's a bunch of showrunners talking about adapting comic books to TV and film. We've got some awesome ones. Chris Black, I think he was on the show talking about the Cinemax adaptation of Outcast, the Robert Kirkman book. He's now one of the co-showrunners of Godzilla that is coming to Apple TV. He's on the panel. Stephanie K. Smith, she's working on the adaptation of Lore Olympus. That's a young adult novel, I believe. And she also has worked on a few things, and she is going to be on the panel along with our good friends Burke Sharpless, and I totally messed that up. Burke Sharpless and Matt Sazima, who did the latest Netflix Lost in Space, but also when we're talking about adaptation to film and TV, they did Morbius and the upcoming Madame Web. And I don't know. I mean, they can maybe tell you or not tell you how involved they were and what ended up on the screen, but they definitely are the credited writers on those so far. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we just are going to have a blast. I know that when people come to sign at the booth or appear at the booth, I might pull them aside and do a little bit of a mini Geekscape episode interview, and that stuff will show up here on the feed. So the best way to come to Comic-Con with us is to subscribe to this show and just hang out as we record. The days following, we'll be recording that. We'll be releasing that stuff. And damn, I'm already tired. We haven't even set foot in San Diego yet. So let's start the show. Let's preview some Comic-Con. Let's hang out with Matt and Derek. Shane isn't able to make it. I, in the solicitation for this episode, invited Shane, told you Shane was going to be here. Shane texted me that he's on the freeway in Alaska, and he's stuck in traffic. There's an accident. So I hope everybody is all well there. Shane is good, but maybe he drops in by the end of it. Maybe he doesn't. But you're here, so let's get things going.
Comics, movies,
All right, Geekscapers, welcome to Geekscape 666. Every time I say 666, I think I'm going to have to say it like that. And we're previewing Comic-Con. It's in a week. Matt and Derek are flying into Los Angeles to help me count shirts, put the booth stuff together, cram it into a van, and drive it down to San Diego and set it all up for those of you who are going to be there. And those of you who aren't, you're in the right spot. Subscribing to the Geekscape podcast, because everything we record in the booth, all the friends who come and visit us, the panels, everything we experience, we are going to put on this feed and share with you. So let's start that right now. I actually think that I'm going to record one more thing before somewhere crammed in the booth or crammed in this feed is going to be a Neil LaBute conversation, which I'm doing next week. I was supposed to invite Neil LaBute wanted to come on the show Thursday and I couldn't make it work. And so we went back and forth and finally it was like, okay, well, the movie comes out next week. It's a home invasion, kind of cool horror movie. I definitely want to see it. Maybe I'll wait for Matt and Derek to see it with me. And they weren't going to say no. Neil wanted to come on the show because we had Neil on the show last year and we had a blast. We got along great and I loved having him on the show. So I think we're going to end up Matt's in the waiting in the wings to come on the podcast. Matt, I think we're going to record that conversation from the hotel room Wednesday at like 11 and then put it up on the feed when it's appropriate, whenever the movie's out or this and that. But just letting you know, Matt, one of the podcasts that we're recording in San Diego is our good friend Neil LaBute, who's made some pretty awesome movies. Mean movie. I call them mean movies, like In the Company of Men and stuff like that. But they're all pretty well written, and I love talking to Neil. So that's coming for you guys. So you're going to get like all this SDCC content, and then you're like, oh, Neil LaBute. Hi, Neil. How are you? But it's all good. All right. Here's Matt. Here's Derek. We're getting ready for Comic-Con. I'll be seeing their faces in less than a week in person. And this is the Geekscape 666 Comic-Con preview. Guys, here we are again. Another year under our belts.
I can't believe it's here.
I'm excited. So wait, John, you're
saying... You sound excited.
I've been sick.
This is pretty great. I'm so enthused. I've
been very sick, but... it's good because if I'm sick now, I can't be sick at Comic-Con. That's just science.
That's how it works for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Matt, you've gotten tested,
it's like
right?
Some double Jeopardy thing, right?
But yeah, you're going to do Geekscape 666, the number of the geek, and then we're going to be in your house and you don't want to do Geekscape 667, the neighbor of the geek, while we're in the same building as you.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. We all huddle together around a microphone and a Ouija board.
Yes.
And we do an episode while we watch Neil LaBute's movie, and then we talk to Neil like 2 days later.
Perfect.
Steven Snyder hit me up he's watching on LinkedIn. He's like, oh, I'm going to get that LinkedIn, send out some resumes, watch some Geekscape. He says, I'll check out the podcast for sure. Thank you for your awesomeness, Jonathan. Maybe you're referring to last week's episode, Steven, because I got a lot of comments. Speaking of witchcraft, devil worship, and all that. Jonathan G. Nelson, who was the DM who did Rise of the Drow and did this Rulkmork book. The last episode, we talked all the things D&D. And afterwards, Jonathan was like, why wasn't this episode 666? It was all about Dungeons & Dragons. And I loved talking Dungeons & Dragons with him. It was great. So maybe that's what
you need to bring the Unholy Trinity in for episode 666.
There's talk. And Geekscape is... hit me up at Jonathan at geekscape.net if you're interested in this stuff. But Jonathan G. Nelson, I'm differentiating because clearly that's my name. Jonathan G. said he wanted to do some one-off like campaigns with at least me. And I would always invite Matt and Derek, maybe Shane, to join us and do those. That's something you guys would be interested in, is listening to Jonathan, who's like a really great DM, do these one-off adventures and maybe put the audio out on the feed or something. He has like a Goonies themed sort of like 80s throwback game that he's testing right now, and he wants to maybe do some online play testing. And it's, I mean, I don't know, I've never really listened to like an audio RPG podcast thing where people are playing through a campaign together. Is that something the Geekscapists would be interested in? Should it be its own dedicated podcast? I don't know. Like, I'm taking notes on this stuff. Opinions.
It's a poll. I'm not sure if you're asking us or the audience, but I say yes.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I mean, Adventure Zone's pretty popular. I don't see why not.
Logan Pop, who came to us from Horror Movie Night, he's from your neck of the woods, Matt Kelly. He says, I want to see some horror RPG podcast. All right, maybe we can work on something like that. The truth is, like, Geekscape's spreading like a weed.
I'm in conversations with two more podcasts to add to the network. No,
I feel like every day I get an email that from Megaphone that's like, a new podcast has been approved. And I'm like, how could there possibly be more?
We host all of our podcasts with Megaphone. That's Spotify's podcast hosting service. And they've been great. But Derek, Matt, and I are all like editors, authors on that account. And every time Matt approves a new podcast and adds it to our roster, we get emails that are like, your podcast has been approved and now we can start putting ads on it and putting it out on the feeds. It doesn't ever say specifically what that podcast is,
just that a new podcast.
And Matt never runs them past me. Matt's never like, hey, I'm thinking about starting this Doritos
in my defense, the last like seven have all just been Bingetown TV spinoff podcasts.
Yeah. And the Bingetown guys are doing great. I love the numbers they're doing, and I love Jim in the gang. I think Bingetown, if you want to deep dive on any of the stuff that's hot right now in TV, like Silo, that show, go to Bingetown. They have dedicated podcasts for those shows. And I love it, but every now and then I see a podcast and I'm like, what the heck is that?
I feel like whenever you go to upload an episode, not that I do it very often these days, but whenever you go to upload an episode, it feels like when you're doing like an age verification, and every year you're just like, oh, I gotta scroll so much further than I used to. Like, you just have to like scroll and scroll and scroll to get down to your podcast these days. It's a good problem to have.
I was going to say, that's a problem that only us and maybe Jim from Bingetown have. Everybody else only sees.
Fair.
Yeah. If you're a podcaster on the network, you only see your podcast and can only augment your podcast. We see all of them, and I just keep thinking, holy crap, we have a lot of podcasts. That being said, Logan's back and says, the Geekscape Podcast Network is one of the better ones out there. So thank you, Logan. Like, we're adding to it all the time. And at Comic-Con, I think that there are a lot of people that Matt talks to and a lot of people that come by the booth, and we're always welcome to talk to people about new podcasts, whatever their geekdom is. We don't gatekeep with that stuff. There's always stuff we're looking for. I'd love a Spanish language geek podcast. I think we can always have some enthusiastic female centric podcasts or something. I mean, there's so many amazing voices out there. It can't just be mine. Like, I really love that the Geekscape flagship podcast is like nowhere near the top podcast on the network anymore. And that is so awesome that we've given a platform to so many people to go and put their voices out there. Jim Pellegrinelli in New York says, hey, if Geekscape wants to go full Mazes and Monsters, I'll gladly be your Tom Hanks. You remember that movie, Mazes and Monsters? It's from like early 80s. And I think it was a TV movie.
My basement. And I can grab my TV right now.
Mazes and Monsters.
I got three copies.
It was Tom Hanks, like, it was about friends who play D&D, and Tom Hanks like detaches from reality and like always thinks he's in the game. But it wasn't a fantasy movie. It was like a drama. And
sounds kind of great, actually.
Probably I grabbed it from VHSPS like a couple months ago. I haven't watched it yet, but I do have the bootleg of it.
So we've been joking. I have a thread now with Ian and Justin and Christian Blatt and Garrett Briones, and we all did the Flash podcast a few weeks ago. And regardless of what you think of that Flash movie, I thought the Flash podcast with the five of us, the Flash podcast was pretty good. Like, I think we did a pretty balanced conversation about the Flash, which is a movie that, whatever you think of it, it's a pretty interesting movie. Ultimately, there's a lot to talk about with that Flash movie.
It was shocking. I think you could have done double the length of that episode, honestly. Like, there was just so many points where I'm like, man, like, if I was on that podcast, I wouldn't have let us get less than 20 minutes.
I smell a Flash movie scene. Discussion dedicated like, podcast coming.
Oh, the opening of that Flash movie. Geekscapists, if you haven't watched the Flash movie, you probably had no intention to. But it opens with a scene of the Flash being stretched thin with his speed powers. And there's a scene where, like, there's an earthquake or something, or like some pipe bursts under the street, and there's like a collapsing hospital, and these babies start falling out the windows.
Yeah. You know how we keep babies on the top floor of every hospital?
I'm surprised they weren't on the helicopter pad. But yeah, the window smashes and these babies, and they're like rolling little incubator cribs, start like falling out the window, and the Flash has to like bounce between them. And at one point he takes a baby and puts it for safety in a microwave. and all I, you know, you hear these things about the Flash movie, and you hear like James Gunn, like the story about Tom Cruise having seen it and like thinking it's brilliant. Like these kind of like PR spin stories started coming out that were like, this is the best superhero movie ever made, man. And so as I'm watching it, and this is ultimately a movie I liked, and the podcast is there for you folks if you want to go back in the feed and find that.
Man, that first hour is rough.
But that
first of the movie hour, or the podcast?
The podcast is only an hour, so the whole thing's rough. But the Flash movie, that first hour of the Flash movie, I'm like, what are we talking about here with this? I was like, is this really the movie that they said was like the best superhero movie of all time? Because for my money, the best beat for beat superhero movie of all time, really, it's the first best superhero on film, period, is the opening 30 minutes, 20 minutes of Richard Donner's Superman, like where it's before he becomes Superman, like all that stuff on Krypton, all the stuff in Smallville, that stuff is perfect. It's perfect. From there, maybe go to Spider-Man 2.
I feel like obviously recency bias, but I think that the entire Spider-Verse trilogy has the potential to just be the greatest trilogy of all time.
But yeah. Oh yeah, man.
like
Spider-Verse up there for sure.
Beat for beat, perfect movies.
No other comic book movies aside from the two of those have I like left the theater and just like seriously been like, I need to like go home and read comics like right now.
An adult, but when I was a kid, I walked out of first Ninja Turtle foam rubber movie. I was like, it's pretty badass. I want to get trained by a rat.
I'm pretty excited for the new
Turtles movie.
Amazing. Hell yeah, we are. I'm excited about that for sure. What I like is that the fans are like, was April O'Neil Black?
Yeah.
Was April O'Neil Black? They didn't know that like Kevin Eastman, former Geekscape guest, based April O'Neil on his wife at the time during the 80s, who was black. The original April O'Neil in the black and white comics, black. So I'm stoked about the new one. And those racists can go F themselves.
Yeah, it's the same people that hated the Luis Guzman casting for Gomez Adams. And it's like, have you ever looked at an Adams family drawing?
His
like,
name ever? Is Gomez, bro. His name is Gomez. All right. Like, show me the white dude whose name is Gomez.
Yeah.
Says the Latino whose name is London. But listen, I'm only half my dad's side, right? I'm white Tino. Is that a thing? It's not a thing.
It can
not
be. A term. We can create it. We can do anything over here at the Geeks. We'll make it a podcast.
Guys, the thing about Geekscape, and we can say it now with Geekscape 666, is that we weren't happy with the world, so we created our own little world to live in. This is Mason's.
We're not happy with that one either.
I wanted to ask you guys before we get into the whole Comic-Con thing, and Jim will get the last word on the Flash. He goes, that Flash podcast was a bullet I never wanted to take for the Flash movie. And then Logan's back and he says, my 3-year-old is obsessed with Spider-Man and Ninja Turtles, so I get to enjoy the childlike excitement all over again. Oh yeah, that's great. I'd love to. Yeah, it's very cool, Logan, that you get to be excited and then have it magnified with sharing that stuff with your kid. This is episode 666, right? Because I manipulated the numbering. Like, what are the darkest times on Geekscape? Like, Derek, you've been a part of Geekscape since Geekdrome, before Geekscape. Matt, you've been a member of Geekscape since episode, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Both of you, 2015, 2016, 2005, 2006.
The percentage of your life that's been?
Well, yeah, we can do the math, but, like, we're at 16, 17 years of Geekscape. this is almost half my life that we've been doing Geekscape. What were the dark moments on the podcast? Because we're not talking about divorces and things like that.
I mean, we can't not address the fact that there was definitely a rough patch while that was happening. like on the show, it got dark.
It did, didn't it, Matt? Like, because the thing is, like, I couldn't see it from my own perspective that things were. I mean, I knew things were bad. I did not feel good. Yeah. I was going through a crisis. You know, that was rough. But y'all saw me go through for real a midlife crisis. And all that stuff on the podcast and go through a divorce, go through a reset of my life and all this stuff. And
it's documented in real time too.
It's in the happy ending in real time. Y'all were there. Happy ending kills himself on the podcast. No, it's not over, but you definitely, that chapter, like nothing ended. There's no ending, but you definitely saw, I mean, y'all were there for the wedding in October, the marriage to Heidi, and I'm so happy and all this stuff. And so it's great, but like we've gone through ups and downs on Geekscape, and we've gone through different networks that we've been a part of. And we have had different partnerships. The show has been through different formats. Our network has been through different things. We've had different partnerships. What were some of like the darkest or moments just to celebrate the fact that this episode, like what are some of the darkest moments of the podcast,
Derek,
or the network?
I don't know about you, but I think that there's definitely eras of Geekscape where there was like the hard reset and like we changed what Geekscape was. And usually the episodes leading right up to that point were...
Talk to me about that. Like what is something you think about? Because
right when we stopped, the first time we stopped doing video and then it was going to become a fully audio podcast, I think part of that was you were just like
burnt out on editing.
Burnt out on editing videos.
Right. That was mini DV, Matt.
Yeah. Oh,
God. We were recording on a XL1 or some kind, not an XL1. Those were older, but we were recording on some video mini DV. And then I would take it, I would bring it into Premiere or Final Cut maybe at the time, add titles, edit it, put it on video, but not even put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Put it on an M4V on this very RSS feed.
Yeah.
And so you could download it on a video iPod you didn't even use anymore.
Yeah.
It's fucking pointless.
Yeah. We were like, why are we doing this? And that's, and then you changed up the format for audio for a while. And that was like a lot of fun. The very first audio exclusive episode was you with Scott Kloppenstein.
Yeah.
Played a bunch of songs. You started that episode. I still have the audio of the start of that episode.
You
and Sam Weller just dunking on the Nerdist Network at the time.
They're friends, but
one of my favorite lines is, "Do you want to watch me eat this box for money?" I mean, also, like, I didn't love the call-in radio show era of
Toad Hop.
I don't have very fond memories of Toad Hop episodes.
I was gonna bring up the Toad Hop stuff too. I feel like the one thing that I think, because if I remember correctly, like Toad Hop was the first time in a long time that video was brought back in any capacity, is that right?
And so they had a streaming site and it was here in LA. There's a their morning radio, Heidi and Frank. And it was Frank from Heidi and Frank's network, Toad Hop. And Frank wanted the show over there. So we did those episodes over on Toad Hop. And there's an actual episode missing on the feed. It is the only episode I do not have a copy of. It was pulled when we started hosting our stuff on SoundCloud. It was pulled because it had remnants of a song on there that SoundCloud's algorithm pulled. And so it never left. It never made the transition from Toad Hop. When we migrated everything to SoundCloud, it never migrated over because it was one that got blipped and I didn't have a copy of it. It was an episode with Gray Drake as a guest. She's been back on the show since, but that episode, I did not have a backup of the MP3. Mm. I didn't have a backup of anything. As you said, like dark time. As I was leaving that Toad Hop network, I was like, man, this show got sliced to pieces by these ad breaks and the call-ins. And
I was going to say the thing that I did appreciate from that is I think it gave us as an audience, but also like hopefully for you creating it, like it gave us a taste of video again, which I don't know that we ever would have really jumped back into necessarily. And I like as up and down as the episodes could be, loved the video aspect of it and loved like seeing you and the guests again. And then like this now, like doing the StreamYard thing, I don't always have an opportunity to watch it live, but whenever I do, like it's just so much, it's just a much different experience. And it feels, even if you're just watching but commenting or whatever, like it feels much more like you feel much more connected than just getting to listen to the audio. So as dark as Toad Hop could have been, I appreciated, I think it gave us a taste of that ultimately maybe led to this.
I love doing the video show, and I love doing the StreamYard show because I control it. Because again, we did video again later with that other network that I forgot. And I forgot the name of the network, but my biggest memory of that network is when Heidi was my guest one time, the head of that network, who's like this 50 some odd year old, like ex Sunset Strip rocker guy, was like, "Hey, that redhead that you had in here on your show, pretty good looking. Pass her my number." And I was like, "Bro, your microwave fucking Velveeta cheese skin, like the dude had so much. You know those dudes on like Sunset Strip?
Yeah.
I was watching that Muppets Mayhem, Matt, and there's a Tommy Lee cameo, and he looks wrecked. Like all the Sunset Strip rocker dudes, like." I'm like, oh, but he was like that. He was like, his face all stretchy. He's like, "Hey, that redhead he had in the studio is pretty good looking. Pass her my number." I was like, "What the fuck? Fuck no, I'm not doing that. I'm not giving it, you know." This video right here, and what I like about it is like, we talked about the numbers on Geekscape on the network over on Megaphone, and I've for a long time been like, "Jonathan, the podcast MP3, the podcast audio podcast numbers would be way better if you didn't cannibalize it with the video. And if people didn't already watch it live or watch it on Twitch or Facebook or wherever the heck they watch this, LinkedIn, I guess, wherever they watch these things, if you weren't spreading it across a bunch of different watering holes, the actual in the, all they had was the MP3, those numbers would be way better. I don't care."
Yeah.
Because I like doing the video.
I'm going to say something that's a weird thing to say, but as dark as the entire like COVID years were for like America as a whole,
the globe.
But we're talking about America here,
but come on. Yeah. You don't even count in this, Derek, but I do think that that's probably some of my fondest Geekscape memories was like, we were finding any excuse to hop on StreamYard as many nights a week.
I still am.
But you know, like there was even like a, I think it was like a 10-week experiment where we did like Wednesday nights was a horror movie night live stream. And that's like where we kind of started to work with Robert Bacon, and that brought like the 91 Donkey Lane stuff in. And like, genius. We just started like dabbling in all this other stuff. And that's when we started doing the Christmas live streams and the Blood Drive live streams. And I feel like post COVID, you hear all these stories about like, you know, this thing happened and everybody was working from home. And like, you talk about like the companies were like, "Oh, we brought us together." And then, you know, now like things are back to normal and like everyone's kind of gone their separate ways. But I think that that was like the biggest push to make the network an actual network. You know what I mean? Cause we did stuff like those live streams when we really, really needed it. And everyone became familiar with everybody from like working together on that stuff.
If anything, and, I think Matt, and this is a big ask for you, and we in Geekscapes, we are planning another holiday live stream this year.
Yes.
And you're going to get the whole network. We got to find excuses to do that. The network crossover type stuff and put people's faces on the StreamYards and this and that. We got to find better ways to do that throughout the year, whether or not it's tied with the charity or not. But I think Logan said it best here on Facebook. He says, "These streams are definitely more personal feeling connection wise. It makes people like me love the network more." Well, we love you too, Logan. And then he says, "Also, a lot of you guys and your shows helped me get through and still actually get through a lot of depression." And depression is real. Depression is something that a lot of geeks maybe found refuge in the geek media or whatever they like. Maybe they found that storytelling escape because of depression. I know myself for sure, like loneliness, depression, being a geek wasn't easy back in elementary school, middle school, high school, never easy. And this stuff was always there for you. It's your constant, right? So you just can't gatekeep that stuff. You know, it's the next thing that happens sometimes.
I will say that I think the Christmas stream this year, where I'm working on trying to get, like, Santa. Last year, I think one of the big get, well, like, the yes, we can try to get Santa, Santa for sure.
Okay.
But like last year, one of our big gets,
Santa
like,
with getting
Wheatus, like Wheatus to play was like super cool.
Got Wheatus like, to play.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, I'm trying to get a couple more cool ones.
Blink 182?
Probably not Blink, but maybe 9 Days or maybe Bowling for Soup. Like, okay, people that I've worked with that I can reach out to, I'm going to try to
think. The holiday stream Geekscapers, I'm saying now, will only go forward if we have Green Day.
We'll try.
Logan says, Five Iron Frenzy?
I mean, it's more real of a possibility this year than it was last year.
Yeah, because Matt loves that band more than any other. How crazy was it that last week, on the podcast, I mentioned Mr. T Experience, and the guest was like, I love Mr. T Experience. I was like, whoa, this is going to be a good episode.
John, I don't even know if I've told you. I don't think I've publicly talked about this.
You don't wear pants when you're recording.
Never. no, so we're doing Weird Algorithm, and Weird Algorithm has a finite amount of episodes that we can do, right?
Because like, that's that number. A pretty big number, though, right? Like. Yeah.
We're at almost the halfway point.
Really?
And Matt and I have been talking about how much fun we've been having. And we're like, well, what's the next show? Like, when we finish Weird Algorithm, what's the next one? And the idea that I've pitched is Green Data, where we work through the entire Green Day discography and rank it. So, John, I mean, you will be a...
I only host... I'm only hosting Geekscape. I'm free. I'm free to host a Green Day podcast with you guys.
What if you kept the Weird Al one alive and you just started again?
Yeah, just
and like see if things have changed with all the knowledge you have now.
Yeah. What if you cover your own
podcast?
I mean,
that feed will always be alive because as soon as he puts out anything new, we're going to have to be the first to report on it. Obviously,
because you're doing every Green Day song.
I think that's the goal. Yeah, okay, in like 2024, 25. But yeah, that's the goal.
There's a TikTok I follow only because they're covering every Green Day song, including like some of the songs that never ended up on any of the albums, any of the official, just like demos that they found, some crazy ass demos, and they're doing covers of them. And I'm like in love with that TikTok. I'll find out who it is, but I think they're in Maine or something. Like the pop punk band in like Maine or something. And I'm like, oh, dude, this rips and it's really good.
The first one that we talked about was actually Wheatus, or not Wheatus. We talked about doing
Weezer. Sick? Are you still that sick, dude? Should you be coming to Comic-Con?
I'll be fine. So we were talking about doing Weezer, and then we found out, that there's already a podcast called What's With These Homies Talking About Weezer that just reviews the albums, not song by song. But also the idea, I was like, man, the idea of trying to just rank favorite songs from the Blue Album and Pinkerton in a order would be enough to give me anxiety. So I
got it right here.
I
can do it. All right. Number one, it's out of left field, but I'm going to say Butterfly.
Really?
Number two. Yes. Number two is going to, no, I'm thinking about that.
We could,
but it's kind of, but like if, but I said Butterfly and I'm holding to it.
You know,
see,
it was
my
a dark
number one
moment.
Would be a Perfect Situation, but yes, Derek,
when we didn't get to
be a dark moment on Geekscape
when we didn't get to go see Green Day together at Comic-Con 2020 because they were playing at Petco. They were playing
Mega
that weekend.
We
were gonna get tickets. Oh, that would have been so good.
And I forgot about that. And then we ended up Heidi and I ended up seeing them later here in Dodger Stadium. But it would have been Heidi and you guys and everybody that summer. Damn, way to depress me. That being said, we're going to make some memories.
Jimmy Eat World's playing this here on Friday, if you guys want to go see Jimmy Eat World.
Jim Paganelli says, what the F? No, number one, my name is Jonas. Yeah, no, that's the cool thing about discussion. I mean, Pinkerton, for me, is just a superior album to the Blue Album, and I love Rick Ocasek, and I love the Blue Album, and I love all that stuff. But I can listen to Pinkerton a lot more than I can listen to the Blue Album, and so the number one's going to come off of that Pinkerton album. It is Butterfly my favorite Weezer song? You'll be surprised to hear my favorite Weezer song isn't from either of those first two albums.
It's the Africa cover.
Not what is, doesn't
what is your favorite? Now I'm curious because I said mine. It's Perfect Situation.
That's your favorite Weezer song, period?
Yeah, off of Make Believe. I love that song.
I don't know. I think it might be on. You guys are going to kill me. It might be on OK Human. Or it might even be End of a Game. I don't know, guys. Like
OK Human's phenomenal. Okay, that's phenomenal.
And I gotta tell you, I have all the seasons on vinyl. They were great. Into all that stuff. Okay,
look, Weezer's on an upswing. That's all I'm gonna say. If you've given up on Weezer, check out the last like four albums they put out. They're great.
Yeah, you don't have I'm worried about people who are like kind of gave up on Weezer. You didn't have to. it's like people who are like, you know what? Went to see them comic book movies. I was really into it. And then after they beat Thanos, kind of gave up on comic book movies. Like, you didn't have to give up on any of that stuff. Is it as good? No, some of the stuff isn't as good, but that's pop culture. Kind of giving up on them. Star Wars. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give up on Star Wars. Every now and then there's something that's pretty good in Star Wars. I liked that last Mandalorian finale. I thought that kicked ass. That was awesome. You don't have to be doing this. I kind of gave up on him, man. It just hurt too big to be a part of that anymore.
I feel like that goes along with
best were you in Weezer that you were like, it hurt me.
Thought about it a lot, and I've decided. It goes along with the whole like this X thing ruined my childhood like discussion.
Yeah,
as well. Like,
oh my god, man! I gotta tell you, the prequels ruined my childhood.
Yeah, John, look, you're saying a lot of things, but how about Father of All Motherfuckers?
I will pick several songs from Father of All.
I know a lot of people shit on that. I think it's Gasolina.
Gasolina is a great album, like a great song. Like I think some of these songs are awesome. In Father of All, we're talking about Green Day now. Like I think there's several songs on there that are awesome.
Okay, I wanted to confirm that because everyone shits on me for liking that album even a little bit. But
man,
it's not their best. But dear Lord,
many people shit on you. The reason for it is theirs, and they're alone.
Man. Listen. But
that's not.
I got a podcasting statue over there. So
don't push me with Father of All. Don't push me with Father of All. Don't mess with me.
You should put it. Logan's trying to get in the frame.
Logan's trying to get some indie cred where he's like, "Kerplunk is my favorite album. Kerplunk was my first.
Yeah, Insomniac.
Insomniac's possibly.
Nimrod's up there. Warning, underrated.
Warning is huge, underrated. Church on Sunday is one of the best songs they've done. Church on Sunday is a top five song for me.
Oh, for sure.
All right. We're talking about everything. Comic-Con. People are like, you guys going to be at Comic-Con? The audience the listeners are like, yeah, this is 666 because I'm in fucking hell right now. It's like, I gave up on Geekscape.
You didn't have to. We gave up on ourselves.
You didn't have to give up on us. We clearly didn't give up on you. We're still doing podcasts for nobody. But I gave up on that Geekscape, man. Like, I can't be watching no more Star Wars. It hurt too much.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Once I left the Toad Hop Network and I couldn't call in anymore.
I'm not sure even reading the news, but it sounded like Geekscape might be the most senior company that shows up to Comic-Con this year.
Did you hear where our panel's in Hall H now?
Are you serious?
No, it's not. Oh. Come on, guys.
I mean, it could have been. Everyone's
it's not that desolate. But it's going to be kind of desolate.
Hall H is closed on Sunday as well.
They didn't have anything to put in it.
No, exactly.
Like major studios are skipping Comic Con and the whole Hall H thing. And it's not just the strike. I think financially, when you have a Flash movie that doesn't cross 200 million or 250 million, like after getting like 750 million or something like that, like poured into it after P&A and all that stuff. Like the last couple of Marvel movies aren't really doing what they used to, and same thing with DC and all this other stuff. That being said, Spider-Verse did great. The Mario movie, let's go outside of the comic books. The Mario movie is one of the top five highest grossing animated films of all time, and that's this year. So people who are like doomsaying pop culture movies at the box office, like you haven't been paying attention because Spider-Verse did big box office. Guardians 3. Big box office.
Yeah.
It's just these things are coming in such subsequent speed to each other where there's barely a weekend between them.
Yeah. It's over. It's completely overwhelming.
The failures are going to be resounding.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dark.
No, I was just going to say, like, I love movies and I love going to the movies, and half the time, a few years ago, it would be even to the point where I'm like, this movie looks like shit. Let's go watch it. Because there's nothing else to watch because I've seen everything. And it's like, I just feel like it's it's so hard to do that these days, both from an economic standpoint. Like, I think people are having to choose one or the other more often than they might have before. But it's just like, I feel like there's an overwhelming amount of like pretty average content coming out at this time. And that makes it hard to, I don't think it's sustainable for a viewer, but also like, you know, these giant, huge budget movies that are like, it's not sustainable industry wise.
I'd like to see the return of the middle size movie. I think what Marvel did with their special presentation at Halloween with the Werewolf by Night, and supposedly they're doing it again with like some version of Mephisto. They're going to do a Disney Plus thing. I think that stuff is promising. We have a Facebook user who I don't think is registered with StreamYard, so I'm only reading Facebook user, but they were like, what do you think of, how do you feel about WGA? Pardon me, in SAG being in the wind with Comic-Con. And they said the strike is the thing. Last strike in 2007 didn't cause a ripple, but this is not 2007. Did you watch Spider-Man 3, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3? Because that strike very much affected Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3. Like the entire rewriting of Spider-Man 3.
Remember Heroes?
Heroes was canceled.
Yeah, because of the season Heroes strike. Season 2.
The Spider-Man 3 was not cleaned up on the script because they couldn't touch it. They weren't allowed to touch it. And the script you got for Spider-Man 3 is the script you got. And you went from like writers like Michael Chabon being on Spider-Man 2 to like Spider-Man 3, which is really talented people working together. They're just racing the clock against release date. And they were not allowed to put a rewrite in officially and get writers in to fix Spider-Man 3 at the end of Spider-Man 3 getting put out.
Yeah. So you know that like every year around the start of the year, I start researching like what anniversaries are coming up, like what movies are about to celebrate 50 years or whatever, just so we have ideas if we want to do like YouTube videos about it or whatever. But the thing that I've noticed when I research that is like, I miss when maybe 1 to 2 movies came out each weekend. Like now we're also getting to this point where it's like, I don't really want to see that much stuff, and yet they're still dropping 7 or 8 of them all on.
They're twice the length that they were back then. Like my favorite, almost my favorite.
You got like Extraction 2 and all these action movies online. Against Tom Holland has a new movie on that I've never heard about on streaming, and it looks great.
Yeah,
or maybe it's a series with
series on FTV Plus.
All this stuff looks great. It's just like, when are you going to be able to watch this stuff? We went to see Joyride this weekend. That movie is awesome. Joyride's hilarious.
I heard nothing but good things.
I saw
in the theater.
Insidious. And it was not awesome.
Well, have fun with those bad decisions. You were like, oh, Insidious? It had 3 movies that told me that this wasn't worth watching a fourth, but I'll see it. No offense, Horror Movie of Night fans who were like, oh, a new Insidious movie.
This one's a direct sequel to number 2.
How's this one going to be different? It won't. But Joyride was a fun movie. Joyride was great.
Joyride looks like a blast.
You should definitely go see Joyride. Yeah, it was great. It's a lot of fun. And it's a raunchy comedy to theaters.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. My one of my favorite things these days is when I'm going to like buy tickets for something and then I see like 97 minutes or something like that.
Oh,
like,
that is how I decide love it. Most of the movies I'll see anymore.
Like,
the only reason saw The Flash was because I wanted to listen to John's episode.
Warner Brothers, see, you can't get mad at me for the bad things I said. That baby scene was tight.
No, just watch that over and over.
God, that opening baby
scene. Can't wait till it's on Max so I can just watch that scene.
I was like, what are people talking about? This is the best superhero movie of all time. And
Tom Cruise was right.
He's catching babies in microwaves? Like, you guys are doing this?
It was a Crystal Skull homage.
We have 2 unregistered people in our comments on Facebook talking to each other, and so I think they're the same person and they're just like schizophrenic. So it's like, is Joyride the remake of The Hitcher? The remake was the one with Sean Bean. The original had Rutger Hauer, and then somebody else is answering and being like, no, it wasn't. They were the person. Logan Pop says Evil Dead Rise was rad, but so fucking short. Speaking of runtime, I heard Evil Dead Rise was not good. But whatever, y'all get your own opinion. Did you watch the Evil Dead Rise, Matt?
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like it had the comic book humor that I wanted in an Evil Dead movie, so I skipped it. Editing another podcast while you do?
No, I was trying to find out who this Facebook user is.
It's one of them, Stephen Bay.
Okay.
Well, who knows better? No kidding. I like Steven. you did not like the Evil Dead Rise?
I didn't see it. I didn't. Again,
it's on Max now.
You host the Horror Movie Night podcast.
It's on Max now, yeah.
You host the Horror Movie Night podcast. You didn't see an Evil Dead film in theaters?
So here's the thing.
You're not
a lot of podcasts. The amount of times, the amount of, like, going to see a movie is like two podcasts I could be editing. Like, between watching the movie and driving there and sitting through previews and everything.
You could edit while the previews are on.
Matt. People don't turn their phones off in the movies anymore. Just edit on your phone. Wait, but of all the horror,
movies, podcasts while you're watching it.
Did you see the Insidious 4?
Five. I've only ever seen the first Insidious movie. I was that's enough.
You called it. I just thought that the Evil Dead Rise, everything I saw about it, it just felt like a horror movie with the Evil Dead on it, like the Evil Dead title on it. But for me, an Evil Dead movie has to have some level of the shtick.
So I am at this moment, I'm about to literally parrot things that Kyle and Scott have said on Horror Movie Night.
Okay,
because they have seen it.
Yeah.
And they said that their understanding, they feel like the movie tries to propose this, is that there are three different Necronomicons that produce different types of demons. So the Sam Raimi demons are more goofy. The Evil Dead 2013 are way more violent and malevolent. And then there's this demon from the newest one.
Which does what?
I don't know. I haven't watched
it. Takes a shower, takes a bath. And what I can tell in the trailer, just hangs in a bathtub the whole time. Like, this is like the ceramic demon. Like, what is this? Like the dirty demon. It's like, I just like baths with blood. Like,
they just make jars like in Ghosts.
That was like the majority of the ad I saw was like, you want to see Evil Dead take place in a tub? I'm like, no. I want to see the deer on the fucking side of the wall. I want to see weird chainsaw stuff and like really goofy, fun. I want to see comic book stuff. If I want like the hardcore torture, like you want to see somebody get their eye poked out, like I'll go see something else.
Yeah, I think it's tough though, because like I don't have it. Like, I don't think I saw the old Evil Dead movies until after seeing the 2013 movie and like loving it. And then
I like the 2013.
Yeah. Like the 2013, like it might be one of my,
speaking of 666.
Yeah, seriously.
Like it was a really memorable, like, modern horror movie for me. And it made me interested in watching the rest of the series, which I then did and then loved for a completely different reason. But I don't know. I quite liked Evil Dead Rise. I feel like it was almost over marketed, and it was annoying because of that, because like, you know, they're like, oh my God, there's this cheese grater scene. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to be thrown up in the theater, like all of this shit. And then it's like 1 second of like, and then you're like, what the fuck, where's the rest of this movie? I came here for a cheese grater, but,
the one weapon I would bring into a Kumite too.
I quite liked Evil Dead Rise, but I also see like people have complaints, and they had the same complaints for the 2013 one, that it's not fun. Like the old Evil Dead movies are fun.
It's not really fun. It might as well be a different franchise.
I also know that Scott and Kyle both had a perspective of, they felt like it was really weird to have a film so much about motherhood written by an all male writing
staff. They really get it. If anyone gets being a single mother,
written by Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
you guys heard about this Jonah Hill thing?
Yeah, yeah. Oh boy, have I
ever. Dude, found like a surfer girl on Instagram or someplace online. Then like was like, I want to meet you. Like started dating the surfer girl, and then about faced and was like, I got to protect my boundaries. You can't be putting pictures of you in a bikini with other people, like, or modeling on your social media. I have to protect myself and like my feelings, whatever. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's like somebody, that's like a Matt being like, hey, I want to add this geek podcast all about like superhero movies to the podcast network. And then like, as soon as they join the network, being like, hey, you can't talk about capes.
Yeah,
superheroes or like superpowers or anything, like we just got to protect what we do here at Geekscape. It's video games only. All you can talk about is, it's like, dude, Jonah Hill, like, what the fuck, man? Could you be more of an insecure dude? Jonah, you're a good dude. You, like, you don't have to be this way. Like, you can go and make your movies and be cool and make fun stuff, and we all like your movies, we think we're down, but like, just let the girl be who she was when she met you. That's That's the whole thing. Like, dude, Logan Pop says, I'm not surprised Jonah Hill ended up being a dick. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know any of these people, but I'm just saying, like, if you, the person you go into the relationship with, you either grow together or that's it. You can't change that person. You definitely can't, like, you can't start putting that crap on people, man. Like, that's like Matt Kelly. Me telling Matt Kelly, like, hey, you like Geekscape? Great. Start making podcasts that aren't geeky at all. Yeah. No, what drew us together, Matt and I, in a bond that is indestructible, is that we love the same substandard pop culture stuff. I mean, it's great. It's great stuff. And we want to celebrate it. And we love community building. And at one point we were like, hey, man, let's do sports. It's just not our, that's not our thing, man. That's not what we're about.
Yeah. I mean, I am trying to get a podcast about books, reading books.
Books is pretty geeky, dude.
Yeah, I was like, let's do it.
I like that a lot. A Geekscape book club, actual prose.
Some of the best movies and TV shows are based on books.
What's a book
club? I thought you were going to say are based on book clubs. Like the movie book club and the book club.
Did you guys go to the theater for that new book club movie?
I was like
the last chapter or something.
I was too busy watching 80 for Brady or whatever it was called.
When I left the movie theater and I saw the cardboard whatever in the middle of the theater for book club 2, I
thought you were gonna say when I left the movie theater after seeing book club 2, I was like, what, you won't go to like fucking Evil Dead?
The idea of that scares me more than Evil Dead Rise.
I saw that
Evil Dead Reed is what
my literal first thought was like, man, I can't believe they've left this book club standing up for 10 years. The idea that there was a sequel to that movie was like baffling to me.
Guys, we should make a movie called Evil Dead Reed. That's all they're doing in every Evil Dead movie is opening a damn book and having it like fuck them up. Yeah. Guys, so we got to get back to this, okay? This is supposed to be a Comic-Con preview episode. We've said jack shit about
nothing's happening at Comic-Con this year, John.
I know, but that being said, we're happening at Comic-Con. We're going to have fun. We have some people signing at the booth. We have a panel.
I don't even know who's signing at our booth. Tell us.
Matt, what are you looking for? Well, we got a couple of people. Let me see if I can bring it up. But I know that recent guests like Tilly Bridges are going to be at the booth. If you enjoyed them on the show, they're going to be there. We've got Craig Rasmussen was another ex guest. Our friend Alexander Raymond, who hasn't been on Geekscape in a long time, is coming on.
Monster.
David Avalone, who's writing the if you're a horror movie night fan and you're an Elvira fan, like he's writing the Elvira comic book and he's going to be at the booth talking with those copies. And he's never actually been on the podcast. We've just been friends for a while. Yeah. And so I was like, David, come sign at the booth. But yeah, we're still signing people up for the booth every day. And we're looking forward to it. I think the best thing really is like just having friends there. We're going to be giving away a lot of cool prizes and stuff. But I heard we can't just give them away. We have to have a challenge. What's the challenge, Matt?
Well, you know, we'll pit some people in a game of geek knowledge. There'll be some questions.
They could pitch Matt new podcasts.
Yeah, and
if he accepts them, if he accepts the idea, they get one.
Yeah,
we're gonna run out real fast.
The Facebook user, Facebook user was like, "Dude, did you actually watch 80 for Brady?" Oh no,
no,
that's like rooting for John Voight and Varsity Blues. No, that's like rooting for John Voight. Period. Like right now, like John Voight has turned himself into such a Trumpy Dumpty. That's like, no, just end it there. Just rooting for John Voight. Not that something you do.
I say it every year, but it's the honest truth. My favorite part of Comic-Con is after the convention floor closes.
Oh,
I mean, Spaghetti Factory is definitely part of it. But like, even like Derek and I last year making the really dumb decision at like 9:30 at night to DoorDash 20 wings? Hot wings to our
door. I think it was more than that.
It was 20 or 30 wings.
We ordered them at an appropriate time. By the time they got there, we like I think Matt had been sleeping for an hour and I was just like up watching the app, like waiting for them to come. And it was like, I swear they came 2.5 hours after we ordered them.
They showed up at like midnight?
Yeah, it was like, it must have been almost midnight, I think, when they showed up.
It was late. I was very tired and I was like, I should not be eating barbecue wings and then going right to bed. What am I thinking?
Well, our friend Bernie Bergman has some cool parties every night. I'll send you guys the RSVP list for that stuff, but there's parties, I think Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I don't know about Saturday, but maybe, but he's got this, let me see if I can find it. He's got this company Nerdbot that does these SCCC parties and, they're going to be fun. Like, it's going to be some cool stuff, but they've got all sorts of different parties, and I'll find that stuff, Geekscape. We'll share it on the Geekscape socials, because Bernie is a good friend and he has some fun. One of them's 80s, like Mario retro themed. One of them, they got all these different themes every night. And all I know is that last year I went to one that had, what was it? There was a theme for that one too. And there were like live, it was the Thor. What was the most recent Thor movie?
Ragnarok?
Love and Thunder.
Oh, Love and Thunder.
It was like a Love and Thunder theme party, and it was cool.
Oh, they had goats there,
and there were goats there, and we had fun, and the goats were there. You could pet the goats, and then I'm in this party, and I'm like, all right, this is cool. This is a fun party. Not, you know, it's getting a little late, and I turn around, and Casper and his wife Jenny and Peter Sundoka and some of the people from the Salvage Marines that were signing at our booth the next day were all hanging out, and so I hung out there for another hour or two with them. And his parties are always just fun, and they always have like friends at them. So I'm going to send you guys the RSVP for that thing, and I'll share some of that stuff on the Geekscape socials. It'll be fun.
Derek, do you remember? I was thinking about this the other day and reminiscing about it with somebody. There was the one year that we had a hotel that had a pool and hot tub on the roof.
Yeah,
and we decided to not go to any parties. We're like, let's just hang out in like the hot tub on the roof. And it was like, nobody was in there, but it was you, me, and this other guy.
Are you talking about, there was like the Hasbro guy or the Mattel guy?
He was of the head guys from Hasbro. And I was thinking back to what he told us, because he was like, I'm here to show off some of the new Star Wars toys. And I think this was before Force Awakens came out.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And we were like, oh, and he goes, I saw the movies to make the toys. And we're like, how was it? And I was thinking about what he said to us, because he goes, there's one character in that movie that's going to take this world by storm. And I didn't think about it until recently. I'm like, that motherfucker was talking about BB-8. He saw BB-8 and was like, yo, we got to market this toy so quick. Like,
all right. I got some info, guys. Here are the themes for these movies, for these parties. All right.
Right.
Matt, I'm only mentioning this real quick because I think one of them is going to be your jam. Okay. Wednesday's party is called 8-Bit Legacy, and it's got the Mario lettering. That one's going to be like straight Ready Player One, 8-Bit Legacy. But Thursday night's party, Matt, is Nick at Nightclub. And it has a slime-themed like logo. It looks like a Nickelodeon.
God damn it, Sean, you're going to get me to go to a
Comic-Con 80s,
party.
90s Nickelodeon party.
Son of a bitch.
The Friday one is Monsters Ball. That one looks like a horror themed. And then all week, Wednesday through Friday, they have a Malibu Dream Lounge that looks like Barbie themed. But if you guys look for like Ready Player One on or XLE Entertainment on Eventbrite, it'll be on there. And I'll share this stuff on my socials, because all the Geekscape socials, because it'll be fun. There's some good stuff. And
we don't have parties. Gee to make us go out for some line dancing. So I guess we'll go to a party instead.
I'm seeing one of the shots from last year, and somebody was performing from the band from the Goofy movie in full cosplay. So that looks kind of crazy. But yeah, these are always pretty geeky parties. These aren't like the Entertainment Weekly or the Hollywood parties where everybody's kind of like industry. These are full on geek parties with fellow geeks, and it's pretty fun. We're down. All right.
Well, Geeks see if I stay up later than 9 o'clock on most nights this year.
Yeah, it's a challenge for me for sure. And the whole idea is that, like, I was like, oh, we can sleep in on Monday or so, and then drive everything back, or I can sleep in that week and take it off. But it sounds like I'm going into production the week after. So I'm going from like that straight to like production. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
I got a 4:30 a.m. flight home on Monday morning that I'm so excited for.
Dude, you're not going to sleep at all. You're going to go you're going to stay up, and then at 2:30, you're going to leave for the airport.
That's pretty much what's going to happen.
And it'll be okay.
Isn't that what you did last year?
Basically.
All right. Bon voyage.
I tried to go to bed. You're staying.
But those wings just took so long.
I was like, if only these wings would show up.
All right.
And I was like, where's the water? And
guys, I'm still waiting on my barbecue dip.
All right. I forgot about that too. Derek kept asking us to bring the case of water back to the hotel room. And you and I were always too exhausted to do it. And then he'd be like,
Derek, it was only water. And I was like, what? I was like, this guy can't get water. Like, how is it hard to get water? And then we found
out he has a giant bottle in the
room. Derek was taking like a specific medication that was like drying him out. And then I felt like the biggest piece of shit.
which I'm still on, like, by the way, so I'm going to be really thirsty. And
I was like, what is this guy's problem that he can't find water in San Diego, which is next to a bay? Like, why can't this dude find water? And then, or why can't he just, like, bring water up from the lobby or something? And then it was like, fuck you, Jonathan, I'm on medication. It's drying me out. And then we went upstairs and he looked like he was made out of salt.
Yeah.
And he was like,
remember that scene in Seven where they find the gluttony guy?
I showed up and this dude, remember when, like, the White Walkers fall apart? They get stabbed. Like I just, like, Derek, you're right. I thought he was made out of stone or salt when I saw him. It just, his eyes were shifting and I could barely hear this sound coming out like a whisper from a cave. It was like, pour water on my lips.
Derek, man. Why do you keep coming to Comic-Con? Because, like, we dehydrated you 1 year. You almost got peed on another year.
That was Josh. Josh almost
got peed on. Yeah,
it was Josh. Yeah,
oh, sorry, that was Josh.
All Derek would have been like, it hydrates me. Please pee on me.
My lips.
Please. Please. Jonathan wouldn't bring me water. Can you pee on me?
That wasn't allowed any.
Oh my god.
We like to have fun. Some listener is gonna be like, hey, can we hang out at Comic-Con? Sure. And next thing you know, they're gonna be trying to be on Derek. I thought this is what you wanted. They took it out of context.
Logan's like, it's never make anyone want to come to Comic-Con.
We're doing our part to keep the Comic-Con population down, and we're failing miserably, like, at everything else we do. Yeah. Derek clearly comes for the free food.
Yes.
That's not true. That's just an added bonus.
It
just costs me so much more being from Canada to do the whole thing as a whole. And so you got to save where you can. You know,
Derek, you know what's something else that bums me out about Comic-Con lately? The city of San Diego has really ruined our ability to have a good scooter ride.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah. Like, I rode a scooter last year. It was fun.
Yeah, but they've been, like, turning it off in specific areas. So if you hit, like, certain areas of Comic-Con,
you'll fly into the bushes.
It really ruins.
Wheels just lock.
Check this out. I'm going to do a jump. I'm going to do a jump into the water. Oh, shit.
That first year, we were just, like, buzzing all around.
You could take it anywhere. It was amazing.
Well, this is what we got to do. Take them down the stairs of the convention center.
Yeah.
Or see if we can ramp one onto one of the boats that they're using for a party. Geekscape is, what if we can get somebody to crash a party, a Comic-Con party? It's like, oh, it's the IMDb party on a boat. And, like, hell no. I wouldn't want to be there unless I ramped onto
a scooter
and sent the scooter flying into a punch bowl or something.
Yeah, flew in there on a lime.
Mm-hmm. On fire. It shuts off right as it goes off over the water. Oh, fuck! Your head is the side of the boat.
Like half the reels that you send me throughout the day.
The scooter lands on Kevin Smith. No! He's always at that thing. All right, Geekscapists, we're way off. We're on subject, but we're not. Who knows what we're doing? All I know is we're already delirious. We haven't even gotten to Comic-Con yet. Logan has offered. He said, if I were going, I would 100% do it. He would ramp a lime scooter onto one of the party boats. Well,
thought he was still talking about the pee.
Book your flight. We'll get you a badge if you're willing to do that. Next year, Logan, you're coming and you're ramping a scooter onto someone on a party boat.
There's a lot of yachts there too that, like,
could yeah, use
like they're ramp long enough that, like, the scooter would be appreciated.
Okay, all right. We're gonna get Logan killed at Comic-Con. Okay, Geekscape is an important thing. Follow all the social medias so you can find Geekscape on, because we're gonna put some more stuff there, especially during the week of Comic-Con. Here on the podcast, the feed that you're listening to right now, well, probably not listening anymore. The feed you're listening to right now,
we're gave up on Geekscape.
We're going to be putting, I can't give up on a man like Weezer. we're going to put that stuff up here, so you're in the right place. We'll put a ton of content on the feed. It'll be like you were there, just not with the scooter. You can listen to Matt on the Horror Movie Night podcast and a million other podcasts here on the network. You can hear Derek once a year on his podcast.
And Dynamic Resolution.
Twice a year on his podcasts. They're video game related. Once every 2 weeks.
Sometimes video game related.
Yeah, sometimes Shane intervention related. But we got tons of stuff here on the podcast network. All right. I love that we made Geekscape 666 hell for the audience.
John, it was appropriate. it's a travesty we didn't record this sooner, because I'm sitting here thinking that we definitely should have made a I gave up on Geekscape years ago t-shirt.
What's cool is I found a t-shirt printer who can do this stuff in less than a week. Ooh, here in Los Angeles.
Maybe we should get a couple. I gave up on Geekscape
years ago. Geekscape and Weezer said to me, you know what I like? Not Geekscape and Weezer. That's for sure. All right, Geekscapists, subscribe to the podcast, share with your friends if you want to turn them into enemies, all that stuff. I think Matt's going to go eat dinner. Derek's definitely going to go eat dinner. I'm going to go eat dinner. We're going to Comic-Con. We'll see you at booth 3919 on the floor next week. And maybe you'll hear from us before then. Maybe not. But we love you lots regardless. All right. Peace, my friends.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.